When all the gopis assembled, as described, before Krishna, he began to speak to them, welcoming them as well as discouraging them by word jugglery. Krishna is the supreme speaker. He is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. He can speak on the highest elevated subjects of philosophy, politics, economics, everything. And he also spoke before the gopis who were so dear to him. He wanted to enchant them by word jugglery, and thus he began to speak as follows. O ladies of Vrindavan, Krishna said, you are very fortunate, and you are very dear to me. I am very much pleased that you have come here, and I hope everything is well in Vrindavan. Now, please order me. What can I do for you? What is the purpose of your coming here in the dead of night? Kindly take your seats and let me know what I can do for you. The gopis had come to Krishna to enjoy his company, to dance with him, embrace him, and kiss him. And when Krishna began to receive them very officially, showing all kinds of etiquette, they were surprised. He was treating them like ordinary society women. Therefore, they began to smile amongst themselves, and though they very eagerly listened to Krishna talk in that way, they were surprised. Then Krishna began to instruct them. My dear friends, you must know that it is now the dead of night, and the forest is very dangerous. At this time, all the ferocious jungle animals, the tigers, bears, jackals, and wolves, are prowling in the forest. Therefore, it is very dangerous for you. You cannot select a secure place now. Everywhere you go, you will find that all these animals are loitering to find their prey. I think, therefore, that you are taking a great risk in coming here in the dead of night. Please turn back immediately without delay. When he saw that they continued to smile, he said, I very much appreciate your bodily features. All of you have nice, very thin waists. All of the gopis were exquisitely beautiful. They are described by the word sumadhyama. The standard of beauty of a woman is said to be sumadhyama when the middle portion of the body is slender. Krishna wanted to impress on them that they were not old enough to take care of themselves. Actually, they required protection. It was not very wise for them to come in the dead of night to Krishna. Krishna also indicated that he was young and that they were young girls. It does not look very well for young girls and boys to remain together in the dead of night. After hearing this advice, the gopis did not seem very happy. Therefore, Krishna began to stress the point in a different way. My dear friends, I can understand that you have left your homes without the permission of your guardians. Therefore, I think your mothers, your fathers, your elder brothers, and even your sons, and what to speak of your husbands, must be very anxious to find you. As long as you are here, they must be searching in different places, and their minds must be very agitated. So don't tarry. Please go back and make them peaceful. When the gopis appeared to be a little bit disturbed and angry from hearing the free advice of Krishna, they diverted their attention to looking at the beauty of the forest. At that time, the whole forest was illuminated by the bright shining of the moon, and the air was blowing very silently over the blooming flowers, and the green leaves of the trees were moving in the breeze. Krishna took the opportunity of their looking at the forest to advise them. "I think you have come out to see the beautiful Vrindavan forest on this night," he said, "but you must now be satisfied. So return to your homes without delay. I understand that you are all very chaste women. So now that you have seen the beautiful atmosphere of the Vrindavan forest, please return home and engage in the faithful service of your respective husbands. Some of you must have babies by this time, although you are very young. You must have left your small babies at home, then they must be crying. Please, immediately go back home and just feed them with your breast milk. I can also understand that you have very great affection for me, and out of that transcendental affection you have come here, hearing my playing on the flute. Your feelings of love and affection for me are very appropriate, because I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All living creatures are my parts and parcels, and naturally they are affectionate to me. So this affection for me is very welcome, and I congratulate you for this. Now, you can go back to your homes. Another thing I must explain to you is that for a chaste woman, service to the husband without duplicity is the best religious principle. Not only should a woman be faithful and chaste to her husband, but she should also be affectionate to the friends of her husband, obedient to the father and mother of her husband, and affectionate to the young brothers of the husband. And most importantly, a woman must take care of her children. In this way, Krishna explained the duty of a woman. He also stressed the point of serving the husband. Even if he's not of very good character, or even if he's not very rich or fortunate, or even if he is old or invalid on account of continued diseases, whatever her husband's condition, a woman should not divorce her husband if she actually desires to be elevated to the higher planetary systems after leaving this body. Besides that, it is considered abominable in society if a woman is unfaithful and go searching for another man. Such habits will deter a woman from being elevated to the heavenly planets, and the results of such habits are very degrading. A married woman should not search for a paramour, for this is not sanctioned by the Vedic principles of life. If you think that you are very much attached to me, and you want my association, I advise you not to personally try to enjoy me. It is better for you to go home, simply talk about me and think of me, and by this process of constantly remembering and chanting my names, you will surely be elevated to the spiritual platform. There is no need to stand near me. Please go back home." The instruction given herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the gopis was not at all sarcastic. Such instructions should be taken very seriously by all honest women. The chastity of women is specifically stressed herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this principle should be followed by any serious woman who wants to be elevated to a higher status of life. Krishna is the center of all affection for all living creatures. When this affection is developed for Krishna, one surpasses and transcends all Vedic injunctions. This was possible for the gopis because they saw Krishna face to face. This is not possible for any women in the conditioned state. Unfortunately, sometimes a rascal, following the philosophy of monism or oneness, very irresponsibly takes advantage of this rasa lila to imitate the behavior of Krishna with the gopis, entice many innocent women, and mislead them in the name of spiritual realization. As a warning, Lord Krishna has herein hinted that what was possible for the gopis is not possible for ordinary women. Although a woman can actually be elevated by advanced Krishna consciousness, she should not be enticed by an impostor who says that he is Krishna. She should concentrate her devotional activities in chanting and meditating upon Krishna, as is advised herein. One should not follow the men called sahajiyas, the so-called devotees who take everything very lightly. When Krishna spoke in such a discouraging way to the gopis, they became very sad, for they thought that their desire to enjoy the rasa dance with Krishna would be frustrated. Thus they became full of anxiety. Out of great sadness, the gopis began to breathe very heavily. Instead of looking at Krishna face to face, they bowed their heads and looked at the ground, and they began to draw various types of curved lines on the ground with their toes. They were shedding heavy tears, and their cosmetic decorations were being washed from their faces. The water from their eyes mixed with the kumkum on their breasts and fell to the ground. They could not say anything to Krishna, but simply stood there silently. By their silence, they expressed that their hearts were grievously wounded. The gopis were not ordinary women. In essence, they were on an equal level with Krishna. They are his eternal associates. As it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, they are expansions of the pleasure potency of Krishna. And as his potency, they are non-different from him. Although they were depressed by the words of Krishna, they did not like to use harsh words against him. Yet they wanted to rebuke Krishna for his unkind words, and therefore they began to speak in faltering voices. They did not like to use harsh words against Krishna, because he was their dearmost, their heart and soul. The gopis had only Krishna within their hearts. They were completely surrendered and dedicated souls. Naturally, when they heard such unkind words, they tried to reply. But in the attempt, torrents of tears fell from their eyes. Finally, they managed to speak. Krishna, you are very cruel. You should not talk like that. We are full-fledged surrendered souls. Please accept us. And don't talk in that cruel way. Of course, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can do whatever you like. but it is not worthy of your position to treat us in such a cruel way. We have come to you, leaving everything behind, just to take shelter of your lotus feet. We know that you are completely independent and can do whatever you like, but we request, don't reject us. We are your devotees. You should accept us as Lord Narayan accepts his devotees. There are many devotees of Lord Narayan who worship him for salvation, and he awards them salvation. Similarly, how can you reject us when we have no shelter other than your lotus feet? Oh, dear Krishna, they continued, you are the supreme instructor. There is no doubt about it. Your instructions to women to be faithful to their husbands and merciful to their children, to take care of household affairs, and to be obedient to the elder members of the family, are surely just according to the tenets of the Shastras. But we know that one may perfectly observe all these instructions of the Shastras by keeping oneself under the protection of your lotus feet. Our husbands, friends, family members, and children are all dear and pleasing to us only because of your presence, for you are the Supersoul of all living creatures. Without your presence, one is worthless. When you leave the body immediately dies, and according to the injunction of the Shastras, a dead body must immediately be thrown into a river or burned. Therefore, ultimately, you are the dearmost personality in this world. By placing our faith and love in your personality, we are assured of never being bereft of a husband, friends, sons, or daughters. If a woman accepts you as the supreme husband, then she will never be bereft of her husband as in the bodily concept of life. If we accept you as our ultimate husband, then there is no question of being separated, divorced, or widowed. You are the eternal husband, eternal son, eternal friend, and eternal master. And one who enters into a relationship with you is eternally happy, since you are the teacher of all religious principles. Your lotus feet have to be worshipped first. Accordingly, the Shastras say, Acharya Upasana, the worship of your lotus feet is the first principle. Besides that, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, you are the only enjoyer, you are the only proprietor, and you are the only friend. As such, we have come to you, leaving aside all so-called friends, society, and love. And now you have become our enjoyer. Let us be everlastingly enjoyed by you. Be our proprietor, for that is your natural claim. And be our supreme friend, for you are naturally so. Let us thus embrace you as the supreme beloved. Then the gopis told lotus-eyed Krishna, please do not discourage our long-cherished desires to have you as our husband. Any intelligent man who cares for his own self-interest reposes all his loving spirit in you. Persons who are simply misled by the external energy, who want to be satisfied by false concepts, try to enjoy themselves apart from you. The so-called husband, friend, son, daughter, father, and mother are all simply sources of material misery. No one is made happy in this material world by having a so-called father, mother, husband, son, daughter, and friend. Although the father and mother are expected to protect the children, there are many children who are suffering for want of food and shelter. There are many good physicians, but when a patient dies, no physician can revive him. There are many means of protection, but when one is doomed, none of the protective measures can help. And without your protection, the so-called sources of protection simply become sources of continued distress. We therefore appeal to you, dear Lord of all lords. Please do not kill our long-cherished desires to have you as our supreme husband. Dear Krishna, as women, we are certainly satisfied when our hearts are engaged in the activities of family affairs. But our hearts have already been stolen by you. We can no longer engage them in family affairs. Besides that, although you have repeatedly asked us to return home, and that is a very appropriate instruction, unfortunately, we have been stunned here. Our legs have no power to move a step from your lotus feet. Therefore, if even at your request we return home, what shall we do there? We have lost all our ability to act without you. Instead of engaging our hearts in family affairs as women, we have now developed a different type of lust, which is continually blazing in our hearts. Now we request you, dear Krishna, to extinguish that fire with your beautiful smile and the transcendental vibration emanating from your lips. If you do not agree to do us this favor, we shall certainly be burned in the fire of separation. In that condition, we shall simply think of you and your beautiful features and give up our bodies immediately. In that way, we think it will be possible for us to reside at your lotus feet in the next life. Dear Krishna, if you say that if we go home, our respective husbands will satisfy the lusty flame of our desire, we can only say that that is no longer possible. You have given us a chance to be enjoyed by you in the forest, and you have touched our breast once in the past, which we accepted as a blessing, as do the goddesses of fortune, who are enjoyed in the Vaikuntha lokas by you. Since we have tasted this transcendental enjoyment, we are no longer interested in going to anyone but you for the satisfaction of our lust. Dear Krishna, the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune are always worshipped by the demigods. Although she is always resting on your chest in the Vaikuntha planets, she underwent great austerity and penance to have some shelter at your lotus feet, which are always covered by tulsi leaves. Your lotus feet are the proper shelter of your servitors, and the goddess of fortune, instead of abiding on your chest, comes down and worships your lotus feet. We have now placed ourselves under the dust of your feet. Please do not reject us, for we are fully surrendered souls. Dear Krishna, you are known as Hari. You destroy all the miseries of all living entities, specifically of those who have left their homes and family attachment and have completely taken to you. We have left our homes with the hope that we shall completely devote and dedicate our lives to your service. We are simply begging to be engaged as your servants. We do not wish to ask you to accept us as your wives. Simply accept us as your maidservants. Since you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and like to enjoy the Parakya Ras and are famous as a transcendental woman hunter, we have come to satisfy your transcendental desires. We are also after our own satisfaction, for simply by looking at your smiling face, we have become very lusty. We have come before you decorated with all ornaments and dress. But until you embrace us, all our garments and beautiful features remain incomplete. You are the Supreme Person, and if you complete our dressing attempt as the Purusha Abhushana, or the male ornament, then all our desires and bodily decorations are complete. Dear Krishna, we have simply been captivated by seeing you with tilak and with earrings, and by seeing your beautiful face covered with scattered hair and bearing your extraordinary smile. Not only that, but we are also attracted by your arms, which always give assurance to the surrendered souls. And although we are also attracted by your chest, which is always embraced by the goddess of fortune, we do not wish to take her position. We shall simply be satisfied by being your maidservants. If you accuse us, however, of encouraging prostitution, then we can only ask, where is that woman within the three worlds who is not captivated by your beauty and the rhythmic songs vibrated by your transcendental flute? Within these three worlds, there is no distinction between men and women in relation to you, because both men and women belong to the marginal potency, Prakriti. No one is actually the enjoyer or the male. Everyone is meant to be enjoyed by you. There is no woman within these three worlds who cannot but deviate from her path of chastity once she is attracted to you, because your beauty is so sublime that not only men and women, but also cows, birds, beasts, and even trees, fruits and flowers, everyone and everything become enchanted. And what to speak of ourselves? It is, however, definitely decided that as Lord Vishnu is always protecting the demigods from the onslaught of demons, so you have also advented in Vrindavan just to give the residents protection from all kinds of distress. O dear friend of the distress, kindly place your hand on our burning breasts as well as on our heads, because we have surrendered unto you as your eternal maidservants. If you think, however, that your lotus-like palms might be burned to ashes if placed on our burning breasts, Let us assure you that your palms will feel pleasure instead of pain, as the lotus flower, although very delicate and soft, enjoys the scorching heat of the sun. So we have just heard beautiful philosophy and strong arguments given by the topmost devotees in the whole universe, the gopis. In these statements by the gopis, we clearly see that although they may be uneducated, although they may be village women, they are highly self-realized, and they are fully aware of all the Vedic conclusions. So they are certainly the most advanced, elevated, and highly realized souls throughout the three worlds. Each one of these statements made by the gopis could be expounded on from different angles of vision. Before we go further in our reading, I would like to sing one bhajan.
Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarat Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarat Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarat Hari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarat Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarat Hari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribharadhari. Gobi Janavallabha Giribharadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So now we will finish the rest of this chapter. Upon hearing the anxious plea of the gopis, the Supreme Personality of Godhead smiled, and being very kind to the gopis, the Lord, although self-sufficient, began to embrace them and kiss them as they desired. When Krishna, smiling, looked at the faces of the gopis, the beauty of their faces became 100 times enhanced. When he was enjoying them in their midst, he appeared just like the full moon surrounded by millions of shining stars. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrounded by hundreds of gopis and decorated with a flower garland of many colors, began to wander within the Vrindavan forest, sometimes singing to himself, and sometimes singing with the gopis. In this way, the Lord and the gopis reached the cool sandy bank of the Yamuna, where there were lilies and lotus flowers. In such a transcendental atmosphere, the gopis and Krishna began to enjoy one another. While they were walking on the bank of the Yamuna, Krishna would sometimes put his arms around a gopi's head, breast, or waist, pinching one another and joking and looking at one another, they enjoyed. When Krishna touched the bodies of the gopis, their lust to embrace him increased. They all enjoyed these pastimes. Thus the gopis were blessed with all mercy by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they enjoyed his company without a tinge of mundane sex life. The gopis, however, soon began to feel very proud, thinking themselves to be the most fortunate women in the universe, due to being favored by the company of Krishna. Lord Krishna, who is known as Keshava, could immediately understand their pride caused by their great fortune of enjoying him personally. And in order to show them his causeless mercy, and to curb their false pride, he immediately disappeared from the scene, exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always full with six kinds of opulences, and this is an instance of the opulence of renunciation. This renunciation confirms Krishna's total non-attachment. He is always self-sufficient and is not dependent on anything. This is the platform on which his transcendental pastimes are enacted. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 29th chapter of Krishna entitled The Rasa Dance, Introduction.